Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub from Empowerment Radio as he addresses some of the most prevailing challenges in our day-to-day lives. Find out how you can use the power of your mind to overcome self-sabotaging patterns and build a solid foundation of confidence and self-respect. Learn cutting-edge tools and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. This is the time to empower yourself. Now, here's your host, Dr. Friedemann Schaub.
Always says this so nice. It's just wonderful. Gets me juiced up. So welcome to Empowerment Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Friedemann Schaub, how she says it. And if you want to find out more about me, my work, go to the Fear and Anxiety Solution. You can learn more about my book, my individual sessions, seminars I'm offering, CDs I have, thefearandanxietysolution.com. I say this at the beginning because often I forget it during the show. So just to let you know. Now, every third Wednesday of the month, I have the pleasure to invite one of the amazing guests that I always admire, look up to, learn so much from onto the show. And this is also the case today. Now, the show Empowerment Radio, this program is about living in a self-empowered way. It's about creating a foundation of confidence, self-worth, joy, and living from purpose. But then there are certain topics that we all know that for many just feel very disempowering just by thinking about them. So just notice what happens inside of you when you hear the words money, success, business, selling, competition, cold calls, asking for a raise. What happens when you think about those words? Are these words that bring you into excitement, motivation, or are these topics that you usually rather avoid because you don't really feel that confident about them? Or maybe you just don't know really how to think about them, and so you just push them aside. For many, money especially brings up anxiety, stress, insecurity, a sense of unworthiness, and this is certainly something women struggle with, but also men. And this is a topic that we cannot ignore because money is all around us. It's just one of those ever-prevailing energies in the world. And we have to wrap our mind around it. And we have to get a closer and more positive and certainly more empowering relationship with money than you may have had in the past. So today I have invited an expert who just knows so much about wealth, money, finances, and her name is Shelley Campbell. Some of you may know her. She's the author of The Wealthy Spirit, Zero to Zillionaire, and From Worry to Wealthy. She is one of the Happy 100 in Marcy Shimoff's bestseller, Happy for No Reason, and she contributed stories to several of Jack Canfield's books. She was voted Most Inspirational Speaker by Women in Management, Speaker of the Year by the Association of Women Entrepreneurs, and Rotarian of the Year by the Pacific Palisades Rotary Club. And she is just a major advocate for empowering women to create more wealth in their lives. And today, we will go head to head with such important topics. Topics that we often avoid, such as why women make less money and don't usually ask for more, how we can lose our fear of money and boost our confidence to go after what we want, how you can get your families and spouse support when you're pursuing your dreams, and what the bleep are shark, dolphins, and tuna people. So welcome, Shelley. It's a pleasure to have you. And well, let's just start right with the first question, which I really has as a burning question. I know on the show there are many men listening as well. Now, should they just turn off the radio because your book and your message is more about women? Or do you feel men can also learn something about money?
Oh, I started teaching men about money back in the day. I mean, I've been teaching my financial stress reduction class since 1990, so it's been a long time. And I've always had men. My latest book, From Worry to Wealthy, A Woman's Guide to Financial Success Without the Stress, I wrote especially for women because women have special issues. But women are married to men, and it would be really helpful. Or sometimes women are married to women and men are married to men. But, you know, we all have to understand each other. So women need to know how men think about money. And women need to know, and men need to know how women think about it, too. So I even have a chapter called Spousal Support in this new book. And it's not the kind you get when you get divorced, but the kind that if you get it, you don't get divorced. So it's about men and women talking about money.
Well, and that's something we definitely want to talk more about, how to get your spouse on your side. And I'm glad that you're saying this, because when I read your book, which is a fabulous book, I have to say that I was very much learning a lot just by, you know, starting with the first few pages already, because there is something about the insights and the wisdom that you're sharing that really addresses all of us and that I think we all can benefit from. And one of the things that I loved right at the beginning is that you're talking about the old paradigm of business, where it's all about winning and having more than the competition and being number one. And I paraphrase what you were writing: when nobody is satisfied unless you're number one, everyone is working too hard. I rather play, everybody wins and is happy. I mean, that is a big shift in paradigm, in the business paradigm, in the consciousness around business. Do you think this is already happening, or are we still having to wait for that?
Oh, no, the revolution is on. I mean, that's why Bernie Sanders is attracting so much attention and getting such big crowds, is he's really hitting it. And this has been growing and happening for a long time, where business has been... There's a new book out called Makers and Takers, mm-hmm, by a woman who is an assistant managing editor of Time Magazine, and I've just recently read about it. And she's talking about how business has become financial business. It's not business of making things and selling products. Business has become about moving stock and stock trades, and the rich keep getting richer, and that's why we have the 1% now, because all they're concerned about is they're playing the game of who's number one with other billionaires. Right. So all the billionaires are playing that game, so they can't ever share, because then they'll be number two or number 10, and that's not okay with them. That's that old paradigm, and the rest of us are going, wait a minute. You know, we're all on the planet. That's a zero-sum game, because one guy is going to have all the money. And then what? Everybody's going to starve to death? Who are they going to sell to?
Right. I mean, this is, you know, I'm glad that you're saying this, that there is already a transformation, a change on the way. But it is still curious that with Bernie Sanders, who may represent that other paradigm, and Donald Trump, who is more maybe representing the old paradigm, there is really two forces right now going head to head. And I'm just wondering,
totally polarized.
when we come back, when we maybe we can talk about why people are still believing more in the old paradigm and why this idea of you are a billionaire, that means you can be trusted, why that is in some ways still valid for so many of us. After the break, when we come back, if you have any questions for Shally Campbell or for me, just call 888-418-6890. Again, that's 888-418-6890, or use the question box on the Transformation Talk Radio website. And in a moment, we'll come back.
Hi everyone, this is Dr. Pat. The ancient Inca root vegetable maca is world-renowned for its wide array of health benefits. As a family-run company of true maca specialists, the maca team's mission is to provide you with fresh, organic, premium-quality maca powders at a fair price. Amazing. All of the products are always organically grown, fair-traded, GMO-free, fresh, and potent. So don't take my word for it. Experience the life-changing benefits of maca today. Visit themacateam.com.
Get ready to rid yourself of all that is weighing you down and holding you back. Coming Clean, The Art of Transparency with Catherine Moss is a hit show that brings a real and dynamic message to uncovering and believing in the true amazing being you already are. Tune in and let Catherine help you become truthful, authentic, and mindful of living on purpose one day at a time. Live each Tuesday, 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
Almost everyone at some time in their lives ask themselves, what am I? Most of our questions are ego-generated and simply don't address the problem of our false self. It's time to relax your ego and embody your soul. Dr. Dan Cohen, neurologist, inventor, and author, has created tools to awaken, a new way to transform from who you thought you were into what you truly are. Visit toolstoawaken.com today.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you're ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.
Order your copy of Dr. Friedman Schaub's The Fear and Anxiety Solution today. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com for more information.
All right, welcome back to Empowerment Radio. Today we talk money. And today I have my very special guest, Shally Campbell, author From Worry to Wealthy, A Women's Guide to Financial Success Without the Stress, on the show. Thank you again, Shally, for coming here. And we just talked about the Donald. We talked about money and how that old paradigm of having have the most, having to be the winner, having to be on the top, is no longer working. It is certainly something that leaves so many people just with very little. It's interesting. Yesterday, I talked to a client who wrote an article about one of the wealthiest men in Canada. And he is not only wealthy, he also appears to be very, very wise. And he said that the system in America had been designed in the past to keep people rather poor than making them wealthy. Would you agree with that?
Yes. And it isn't really that that's the intention, but that is the outcome of this idea and old paradigm where you got to be number one. That means everybody else is not going to be number one. And competition is dog eat dog, and your job is to crush the competition. You know, that's just got to go. There's competition. I'm a coach, all right? I'm a financial coach. I was a financial coach because people, I owned a bookkeeping service and I was handling people's money and helping them to manage it. And they couldn't read the financial statements I gave them. So I started calling them up and explaining what the numbers were and what I learned about their business and what they could do to improve. And three of them in the same week said, "You should teach this." And I went, "Well, yeah, this isn't even taught in our school system. There's no financial literacy taught anywhere. So I see there's a market and I'm going to fill it." And it took over my life and I just loved it. But that whole thing of you've got to be number one, I don't want to be number one. Number one, when I started my workshop business, was Tony Robbins, you know, and he had an infomercial running on cable every night and he had 1,000 people high-fiving each other. And I looked at it and I said, "But that isn't my model. That isn't what I want to do. I don't want to be giving performances to 1,000 people. I want to have a small, little, intense group of 6, 8, or 10 people where I really get to know them and see what their issues are and help them solve them." And I've run my business that way ever since, and I'm happy as a clam. And I'm not number one. There are coaches that are bigger than me, making more money than me, serving more people than me. But you know what? I write books and people can read the books. If they aren't going to come and be one of the 60 people a year that I do in my workshops. So it's really fine. I wanted the message to get out, but I want a business that I run, not one that runs me. So I constructed everything to serve me.
Which is really I think that in itself is a great message, because sometimes we do something like, you know, out of the idea we have to win, we have to be number one, we have to be as big as the others. And we don't really listen to whether this is who we are, whether this is really our purpose, whether this is really in our heart. And so we push ourselves and we work 80 hours a week. And ultimately, we are kind of missing out on other aspects of life. And I often say to people, life is not the competition that we are told it is. Life is ultimately the journey that we are on, and every day counts. But see, one of the things that you mentioned was also that you really love what you're doing, but you also have a very positive connection to money and wealth, and most people don't. They see money as the root of all evil, and people that are wealthy, they're all crooks or selfish and they cannot be trusted. Yes. What do you think? I mean, what's your personal connection to money and wealth?
Well, you know what? I was raised to be a positive thinker, and I read a lot of self-help books, and I've taken a lot of classes in my life, and I've had to learn. I've come up across different ideas and concepts, and I've seen what didn't work in my life. Like, one of the things was I was a people pleaser, and so I read a book called When I Say No, I Feel Guilty, and learned how to say no and be proud of it. So what along the way, I came across the idea of doing positive thinking and saying positive affirmations. So I started reading and writing my own about money. So when you mentioned that, you know, earlier in the program, what do you think when I say the word money? I got a big smile on my face because my number one affirmation that I'll just share with everybody right now is people love to give me money. And you just can't say that without smiling. It's fun.
Now tell me.
Money is fun.
You know, it's interesting because some people would say when they hear that, oh, she's greedy, she just wants our money. What do you respond to something like that?
You know what? That's a sign of somebody who does not have a healthy relationship with money. Because here's the thing. We're spiritual beings having a material existence. And some people feel that we're supposed to ignore one or the other of them. To me, I think it means we're supposed to master both of them. Be good at keeping body and soul alive. If you don't make some money, which all money is made from serving somebody else with your talents and skills, which they pay you for, and if the transaction is right, they're going to be happy and you're going to be happy. So why should that be greedy or bad or wrong? You have to do it. You have to have a job or you have to have a business. And why not have one that you love and the people there love you and they're happy to pay you a paycheck and you get to ask for what you want and then find the people that are willing to pay you that.
But isn't it interesting that lots of people would say if you are, you know, wanting to have more money, at some point you're serving the money. And in your book, you wrote about this guy who worked on Wall Street, and he did this last bonus check he got was $3 million, and he was totally unhappy. Why only $3 million? I want more. And so there was an addiction to having more. How would you recommend people to not get into the idea of wanting more and more and more in an unhealthy way?
Unhealthy is the key because, see, he was unhappy with $3 million because he wasn't number one. Somebody else got $5 million. Mm-hmm. And they've done this study, you know, now that psychiatry and psychology are studying happiness. They used to just study for 100 years. All they studied was dysfunction. But now they actively study happiness. And the only thing they've found in experiments that make people happy is to write in a gratitude journal every day, to acknowledge all of the things that you have. I mean, especially those of us in America or any first world country, we don't have third world problems. We're not worried about whether we're going to eat tomorrow. We're not worried about if there's a job available or if we go down to the grocery store, if there's anything in it, and how long will the line be that you wait to get into the grocery store. We don't have any of that. So our problems are already elevated. Well, some people start thinking, well, there are those people that don't have as much as I have, so it's wrong and bad for me to have what I have. But that's not it. What we want to do is help everybody have enough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's also true, certainly, when you have enough and you feel fulfilled, whether it's with money, whether it's with energy, whether it's with happiness, you have much more to share. So maybe this example also shows that this example of this Wall Street executive, that if you don't share and if you only keep it inside, it leads to a contraction. It leads you to become tight and tense, and that always leaves you empty. You mentioned studies on happiness. There was a study that also was testing the blood of people that would call them happy, and it tested the white blood cells. And you can see in white blood cells whether they are stressed or whether they are happy and healthy and you know, ready to take care of whatever, you know, the bugs or viruses come their way. And when we are stressed, obviously, you know, that shows up in a different form in the white blood cells. And so when they tested that, they were asking, I don't know how many people, 100 people or so, are you happy? And everyone who was happy was tested. Now, what's so interesting is that even the people that declared themselves happy because, you know, they had all the money they wanted. They had nice cars. They were traveling. They were only drinking the finest wines and so on. They actually had a blood test that showed how stressed they were and how, you know, in some ways unhappy they were inside because whatever they did, it never satisfied them. And those people that declared themselves happy because they were of service, they were a part of community, they felt like they were on purpose, they had blood cells that showed, you know, a lot of vigor and a lot of energy and positivity. So happiness is certainly also something that's very relative, but the blood cells don't lie. And they showed that when we do use money to make other people's lives better, when we are sharing, when we are contributing, and not just tightly holding on to it, it certainly leads to a much deeper and more profound sense of happiness than when we are just wanting to have more and the next experience and the next thing to buy. And so,
okay, but I want to say something here. It is possible to have both things, to be happy and to be rich. It depends on how fulfilled you feel about serving others. If you're not serving others, I find it really difficult to be happy. Happy in a fulfilled sense of purpose on the planet, that you believe that you're here for a reason and you see the results when you help somebody else. So there has to be an equal position. You know, the Buddhist way is always talking about the middle way, the middle path, where, yes, you can be rich and you can be happy and you can be joyful and you can do a lot of giving. Somebody once heard me talking and said, but what about the poor and starving? And I said, well, you don't help them by being one of them.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
You can't give all of the most spiritual people in life, I think, should have the most money because they're going to be donating and giving. And it doesn't mean that they can't spend on having a nice vacation or having a nice car. See, this is one thing I'd like to emphasize, is that you need to start getting really happy about the money that you spend, because you're spending it on something that you appreciate, value, and desire. And when you get it, you should be happy about it. For example, if you get unhappy and miserable about paying the light bill, then live in the dark. Try that for a while, and then maybe you'll get happy about paying the light bill. But people come from that fear place all the time because they haven't trained themselves to think positively about money. And when you think positively about money, you begin to see that you have control over the flow of it, that it's related to the work that you do, which is serving others, and you get paid, and now you're going to manage your budget, which I say budget stands for baby, you deserve getting everything. But maybe not all today.
Well, Shelley, that is very wise. And when we come back, we're going to talk about something that I know you are passionate about, which is, why are women struggling more with money, and especially also more with the fear of ending up like a bag lady, which in a study, I think 50% of the women admitted to. So let's talk about this when we come back. And again, if you have questions, call in 888-418-6890 or use the question and answer or the question box on the website of Transformation Talk Radio. We will come back with Shelley Campbell in a moment.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
There are so many resources out there for meditation. But did you know that Atana's Heart Earth Healing Meditation is available for you for free? Yes, that's right. You can receive this free healing meditation today from Atana Vadili. All you need to do is visit his website, atanamethod.com. That's A-T-A-A-N-A-method.com. And sign up. You will receive your free meditation instantly. That's atanamethod.com.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedemann Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you're ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.
Order your copy of Dr. Friedemann Schaub's The Fear and Anxiety Solution today. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com for more information.
Welcome back to Empowerment Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Friedemann, and today we have Shelley Campbell, author of From Worry to Wealthy, A Women's Guide to Financial Success Without the Stress, on the show. And we just talked before the break about money and women. And there has been a study that you were quoting in your book that said that 50% of American women are afraid of becoming a bag lady, even if some of them made a six-figure income. And how do you explain that, Shelley? What's going on? Why is money, or why are women so much more concerned about running out of money?
Well, because women don't feel as powerful about money. They know they're not making as much money as men are, still 77 cents on the dollar or whatever on the average. Women get into the ghetto places where they go gravitate and are hired for jobs where it's mostly women, and so mostly women are underpaid. And part of it comes from most of the financial experts out there are retirement specialists. They're stockbrokers. They're people who make money from you saving and investing your money with them. So their message is all negative. It's, you're going to get old and sick and run out of money, and you're going to need a nursing home and all these medical expenses that keep going up. And people just listen to that every day, and they get really frightened. And I'm here to say, forget about all of that. Now, it's good to save some money. It's good to have some assets. But, you know, the idea of retiring and sitting around for 30 years, not being on your purpose, not making money anymore, doesn't appeal to me at all. The average retiree watches 49 hours of television a week. Okay, that doesn't look like a life that I want. So I'm living a lifestyle that I like right now, and I'm saving less for retirement. I do have an account. I do save money. I do have, you know, like book royalties. Anything you can do to get some residual income, like actors get residuals on additional showings of their motion pictures and television shows. Authors get residuals, book royalties. There's all kinds of things that you can build in.
But not everybody can be an author, and not everybody has this passion about what they have been doing. So if you think about the average person that just says, you know, I have a job, it pays, it's okay, I like the people, but I certainly don't want to make it a hobby after I retire. What would you suggest to those?
Well, those people are going to have to really look to budgeting so that you hold on to a large piece of your income so that you can do that. But I think that that's really, you know what? You can't do it. You've got to figure out something that inspires you, that you love, that will make you some money too. And it doesn't mean you work 80 hours. It means maybe you work 10 or 20 hours. You do something fun but brings in a little money along with your Social Security and investments, et cetera. But let me tell you, the actual fact of the matter is, if you look at it statistically, I've asked many financial planners this question, and there's a book called Pound Foolish, which is the dark side of the financial services industry. The amount, the percentage of Americans that can actually save enough money to live comfortably in retirement for 30 years, 8%. That's it. So
that's
a game that everybody is playing that only 8% of the population could even aspire to win is a broken game.
But you're not suggesting just forget about it, don't save at all, and enjoy the day.
No, it's the middle path, remember?
Yeah.
You want to save some and, you know, have your investment accounts, but don't feed into that, oh, you're going to be broke and you're going to need a nursing home. You know, all of that retirement stuff is a fairly new concept. You know, 100 years ago and for all the period of human history before that, you worked until you died, or you lived as an older person. You lived with your sons and daughters, and you were doing the babysitting for the grandkids and the great grandkids, and you were doing some cooking around the house. You know, you were doing tasks that helped the major support, the major breadwinners, take a load off of them.
So well, part of the problem.
Learn.
Yeah, and I think part of the problem is that, just like we talked about, that the connection or the association with money for most of us is rather negative, and often, wealth is frowned upon. I think there is also often a very negative association with work. I remember my uncle. He had a good job as an engineer, but even in his mid-50s or early 50s, he started to talk about that he can't wait and for retirement. He doesn't want to work forever. And so he was really, in many ways rejecting and in resistance to his work, which ultimately I don't think was very healthy for him, because when he was 59, he died. And so before he ever got into retirement, he got a heart attack. And many of us, I think, feel powerless when it comes to changing their jobs, changing their careers. A client of mine told me about her husband, who worked in a sweatshop and made not a lot of money, worked there for 20 years. It was a very toxic environment. And he just held on to the job because he felt that he needed to provide health insurance for the family. And that is kind of a reality for many that feel, I need just to provide for the family, and I don't have that courage, that confidence to look for something else. What would you advise for people like that?
All of these things are fear-based decisions.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're describing to me, is people who are afraid, who go, definitely, well, I have this, I better hold on to it, I'll at least make a living, and then maybe I can have fun when I'm 65, and then they die before they ever get to. I read this statistic years ago. 29% of the American public dies before 65. That's almost a third. Mm-hmm. After retiring at age 65, a third of those people are dead within 2 years. Mm. You know, this lie that everybody's going to live to 100, it's not true. The percentage of the population that's over 95 is 0.01.
Yeah. Okay?
So to me, I looked at all of that, and I had friends who died young in a plane crash or a car crash, or they got sick or whatever. And I went, I'm not going to wait to enjoy my life. I'm going to enjoy it now. And I have confidence in my ability to create an income. And when you have that, and that you have to win, that's study, that's education, that's learning, that's taking risks, that's going for your dream, that's figuring out what your dream is and finding a way to have it. And everybody who really goes for it can get it. That doesn't mean that you won't have problems or you won't have failure. I've had a million failures along the way. That's part of life, too. But
and
it's
I think
okay, because you're
that
having
brings
adventures.
Up, that brings up a topic that I think is especially true also for women that have been sacrificing themselves for the family, that have been taking just, you know, not very well-paying jobs to have a little bit additional income, but also needing to take care of the kids and the household. And then at some point the kids are out of the house and they wonder, so now what? You know, I'm 45 years old and I don't really have a career. I don't really have a sense of purpose. And often they fall certainly into a sense of worthlessness and in a sense of, you know, what am I here for anyhow? And what you're saying is very important, that it will need, you know, for those women to, or it's important for those women also to find the courage and find that motivation inside to go for that, what they want, and not let their fear and their insecurity stop them.
Yeah, and they don't have to figure it out alone. This is one of the major problems with women. Women think they ought to know how to do it themselves, and if they don't, their cause is lost. No, hire a coach. Read some self-help books. Figure out how to do it. There's a wonderful book called Zen and the Art of Making a Living that's creativity-filled. You can just figure something out. Nobody taught me how to do financial stress reduction workshops. I made it up. We're all graduates of MSU. Make stuff up, okay? So I just made it up, but I always wanted to be happy in my work. I always wanted to do something that was fun. And I had a number of jobs that I just had to pay the rent with while I was trying to make it as an actress. And that didn't happen, but it was really good training. And I fell into a bookkeeping job and then kept getting promoted. But let me give everybody courage if you're an older person. I didn't start teaching my workshops until I was 42. My first book I started writing when I was 50. It was released by my publisher when I was 54. My second book when I was 58. And this From Worry to Wealthy book that was just released out last year was when I was 67. I'm turning 68 next month. Mm. And do I sound done to you?
No, certainly not. You are definitely passionate about what you're doing. And if you want to know more about Shelly Campbell, you can find her on her website, shelly.com, shellie.com. And she does workshops. She has these amazing books, certainly a resource to go to if you feel like, I want to just bring my financial health to the next level. I want to start on a new adventure in my life. I'm ready to live a life that is happy. And you talk about the happiness balance sheet. What is that, by the way?
Well, you know, it's like the financial stock market, all of the companies on the stock market, and every corporation has a balance sheet. Mm-hmm. And people have personal balance sheets, you know, a total of their assets and a total of their liabilities. And the stock market all and corporations, this is part of the financialization of America, is that stock has become the end-all and be-all is your share price. Mm-hmm. And corporations are making short-term decisions that aren't good for the long-term, but it's good for the share price right now, and that's what they are driven by. And mm-hmm. I'm saying, instead of being driven by that, why don't we be driven by, you know, how happy are your executives? How happy are your employees? Are you giving great benefits? Do your people get family leave? Do they get health insurance without a million copays so that it's basically worthless? So that's what I'm looking at. I want that's part of the new paradigm that I'm advocating is that all balance sheets include those kinds of things. And how much is the CEO of the company making relative to his lowest paid employee? Because it's astronomical now, and it used to be just 100 times whatever the lowest person was. There was right. more equality, and it's just gotten, you know, this whole divide. It's just frightening and wrong, and that's where revolutions happen. I'm just going to say it. The French Revolution happened because all the wealth was with the aristocracy, and the common people couldn't buy bread. There was a famine. And they couldn't afford bread. The bread prices got so high. And it was actually the women of Paris who marched on Versailles and took the king and queen prisoner. And that was the beginning of the French Revolution.
Well, I'm very convinced that women are in the forefront of a positive revolution, transformation, or whatever you want to call it, and that it's time for women to be more in the significant positions in the world. Simply because men have created a lot of mess and it's time for a shift in that consciousness.
Yes, and women can help. But let me share something. This is a really important concept for women, is that women don't ask. And there's a wonderful book and website called Women Don't Ask, which is about one of the reasons why women don't make as much money is they mm-hmm. don't ask for raises, bonuses, and negotiate their starting salary. And it's because this is how the culture is. I remember in school, you know, if a boy wanted to go to the dance, he had to ask a girl. And if she said no, he asked another girl. If she said no, and on, maybe he had to ask 10 before somebody said yes. All girls had to do was try and be perfect, try and be beautiful, and wait for a right. guy to ask her, all right? And then it continues. You wait for the guy to ask you to a dance. You wait for the guy to ask you to get married. You wait for the guy to handle the finances. And you wait for a guy to give you a job. And it's how we've been raised, and we're used to that paradigm. And so when women are told, well, you have to ask, they don't have the tools to do it.
Right.
And so they haven't gotten used to rejection. The guy has been through a million rejections, so if he asks for more money and he gets rejected, he just goes next.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's not only that rejection, because I remember several clients that told me about the problem with asking, and this was specifically about relationship, was also when I have to ask, for example, you know, my spouse or my boss, or it felt to them almost degrading. It felt to them like, oh, I'm not really worthy to be supported. I'm not really worthy to be paid for. I'm not really worthy to be taken out. I have to do it myself. So it felt like they were lowering themselves and not realizing this is actually empowering. When you're able to ask, or when you're able to pay for yourself, or when you're able to do it without having to ask simply because you have your own means, then you're truly empowered. And they never had thought about this because their grandmothers gave it to their mothers to their daughters. It just kept on going, mm-hmm. this idea of women have to be like this, men have to be like that. And there is certainly an inequality that has also created that problem with women not being willing to ask for what they want or not to go for what they want. And you also in your book wrote about that women often have a hard time to broker a deal or to just bargain because there is also something that they are not really comfortable with or used to.
Well, and they're afraid that if they ask for more money, for example, that it's going to interfere with the relationship, that the person won't like them, that it's
right.
a personal decision rather than a business decision. But you can be nice and warm and friendly and say, well, you know, and you've got to prove your point. You can't just ask for the money out of the blue. I'll never forget the first time that I ever said to a gal that in an office that I worked in, I said, I've been here a year. I think I'll ask for more money. And she said, why do you think you need more? Why do you think you deserve more money?
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at her, Jennifer, aren't you my friend? And she said, come here, let me teach you something. And she said, the only reason to pay you more money is that you've accomplished something for the business, that you've helped the business save money or make more money, or you're an integral part with what you do to the company's making money. What have you done? What can you prove? You need to get that data. You don't just go ask out of the blue, oh, give it to me because I've been warming the seat for a year. That's not worth any more money.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That was so illuminating. And then I said, oh, well, I've helped them save costs, and this is how much money, and I've also helped them make more money through this and this and this. And I made the case, and I got the raise.
Very interesting. But that is also something that you can do, each of us, for ourselves, simply asking ourselves, why do we deserve more money? What is it what we have contributed to the world? How much have we given to our loved ones or the people in our community? How much have we done good? And how much have we maybe added to people's lives and made their lives richer? Maybe not necessarily financially, but in other ways. So can we ask for more money? And again, who do we ask? Is it asking the boss? Is it asking the government? Or is it asking ourselves to simply open up more to receive more, going for jobs that pay more, having a raise in the services that you're offering, and asking the universe to provide you more, which I personally find very, very effective.
Yes, asking the universe is great because the universe is there to deliver. It's there to say, somebody told me once, the universe is just a big yes machine. You say, I really like more money and I deserve it. It says yes. You say, oh, I'd love to ask for more money, but I really don't think I'm good enough. It says yes to that.
Right, right. Or it's like a restaurant. If you go in there and you don't really make an order, well, nothing comes on your table. So we just have to really order for what we need and ask for what we want. But it all comes down to fear. It all comes down to the lack of confidence, the lack of self-worth. So if these are topics that you're struggling with, you can find help in amazing books like the one of Shelley Campbell, the From Worry to Wealth, to Wealthy, A Women's Guide to Financial Success. You can learn more about how to overcome fear and anxiety with my book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution. You can find out more about my work at thefearandanxietysolution.com. And when you are internally feeling not only calm and confident, but you also sense that you have something to offer, that there is purpose in you, that there is something that you're here to share, then you automatically will feel much more inclined to go for it and to ask for what you need and ask the support that you want from your spouse, from your family, from the universe. So that is certainly something that we both, I would say, have experienced ourselves. Or what do you think, Shelley?
Oh, absolutely. And I had to work on my self-esteem just like anybody else.
Right.
And I think that's a place where women really need to start saying, what they do is they compare themselves to the best person. Like if I'm going to compare myself to Tony Robbins when I'm a beginner, when I'm new, I'm not going to measure up. Does that mean I can never make any money? No, that means I'm going to start slow and lower, and I'm going to reach out to the people who are around me that I can serve.
Mm.
So So then as I served those people and saw them get wealthier, saw them make more money, saw them get jobs that they never believed they could have made that much money, I went, oh, I'm worth something, and that proves it, so I'm going to charge more money. And as time went on, I just, you know, upped my fee. And I get to, because it's really good for a financial advisor to be looking like they have some money, right?
Well, thank you so much, Shelley, for being here. And I want to just end the show with something that you were writing about the secret to having a happy, rich, and fulfilled life. And what you said, the ultimate purpose is to help others be happy too. And if we can achieve all that, we will have more wealth than we could possibly imagine. So with that, thank you for your very inspiring and empowering message. And I hope we can have another show with you, because it was great fun to have you on.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me. And I would love to talk with you again.
Great. We will do that. Thank you for listening, tuning in. I hope you were also feeling inspired and empowered. Until next time, I'm your host, Dr. Friedemann Schaub.
You've been listening to Empowerment Radio with Dr. Friedemann Schaub. Join Dr. Friedemann the first and third Wednesday each month at 11 a.m. Pacific as he addresses some of the most prevailing challenges of our daily lives. Discover how you can use the power of your mind to overcome stress, anxiety, and overwhelm and create a solid foundation of confidence and self-esteem. Learn cutting-edge tools so that you can approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. To learn more about what Dr. Schaub can do for you, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.